Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Arsenal Way, back again with you guys for another episode of our Arsenal Agenda series. Joining you every morning, Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. UK time. Joined by Bailey. How you doing, mate? You good? You well?
Yeah, I'm good, TC, mate. How are you?
Yeah, not bad. Not bad. It's cooling down, which is merciful, considering how hot it's been over the last few days. But fingers crossed. Had a bit of rain yesterday. Hopefully some more to come today. And it's in much need, that's for sure. But we close in on Arsenal's next game, of course, after they've won the opening first two fixtures. One of two teams, of course, only to manage that in the Premier League so far. Are you surprised by that random stat that we're the only two teams, us and Man City, with a perfect record so far?
Look, I would have said yes, but then I take it back to 2019, 2020, when at the same stage, Arsenal and Liverpool were the only two teams to win their first opening two games. And look how that turned out. So I'm not going to get too excited, but again, it's a good sign. You can't be too negative about it. It's a good sign.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. I've completely forgot about that 2019-20 season, to be honest. And that was awful at one point. You know, it started so well and then just completely fell apart. So who knows what will happen. But I think we've seen a lot of positive things with this Arsenal team. And hopefully, of course, we can take that through further. There is still, of course, transfers to be done and things to happen in the league. Just sticking with kind of the actual football side of things. It's been reported that Mike Dean's been taken off of VAR duties this weekend. Of course, he was in charge, I believe, of the Battle of Stamford Bridge 2.0, in which he failed to give, I think, three. You know, I mean, you could argue the Havertz tackle is too far away from any kind of incident for them to get interfered with. But the Richarlison offside, for me, is a clear offside. And the hair pull on Cucurella is just assault, let alone a red card. So what did you make of them? I mean, making a referee accountable, I suppose, and taking them off the system.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Finally, the referees are being held accountable because some of the decisions over the last couple of seasons have been absolutely disastrous, horrendous. And the standard of English refereeing at the moment is really poor. So maybe finally Premier League are starting to really take action and punish the referees for making mistakes. The same way a player will be punished for making a mistake. If a player, for example, concedes a goal and it's his fault, the next game he might not be in the match. So it should be the same for the referee. Why should the referee come to the next match and officiate despite him making mistakes? His confidence is going to be low. He's going to make rash decisions. He's going to make the wrong decisions. And I think this is a good step in the right direction. Hopefully from now, the officiating in this country does improve because it's been terrible recently.
Indeed. Yeah, there is absolutely a need for accountability with referees in the country. There needs to be some kind of, in my view, relegation promotion system put in place with correct decisions and, you know, an independent party kind of getting involved and a third party assessing the performances of the officials because it's not good enough. And because there isn't that pressure, I think that's obviously having a knock-on effect in the persistent bad decision-making that goes on in not just the Premier League, but throughout the footballing pyramid and, across, of course, abroad too, and in Europe as well. There is just a very poor kind of feel around the level of officiating out there at the moment. What I would like to talk about transfers-wise is still outgoings. We've seen so many move on, but it's an interesting link with Nicolas Pepe and Nice on loan. What do you make of this link?
I think it's a deal that needs to be done. I do think it's something that needs to be done. I think Pepe, unfortunately, his time here is done. He's very stale at Arsenal right now. I don't think he can offer too much. I think a loan move would be good for him. I know his contract is at an awkward stage where if he does come back, I think he has a year remaining, so selling him will be tough. But look, at the end of the day, we're not going to offer him a new contract. He's not really going to get too many more minutes. And this is a great chance to potentially increase his value for next year. If he has a really good season at Nice, maybe other Ligue 1 clubs will look at next season and feel like, look, we have to get Pepe this year, and maybe we can actually get a fee for him next year, despite the value decreasing already more than it is now. So I think it's a deal that we should look to explore. We should sign another winger, sign actual competition for Bukayo Saka, because Pepe is not going to compete. Let's be honest, Arteta does not trust him. And when we're winning a game, Pepe does not come on. Saka has to almost play the full 90 because Arteta simply does not trust Pepe for a winning position. And that can be worrying. Last season, Saka had a lot of times where he looked burnt out, and we need a player can come in and just maybe replace Saka sometimes. And Pepe, unfortunately, can't really do that. And again, he comes on when we're chasing the lead. Do you take Bukayo Saka off when we're chasing the lead? Not really. So again, I think it's a deal for Pepe as well and for Arsenal and Nice, a loan move. I take it.
Yeah, I think so too. It depends on obviously the wage and stuff. Like, I can't see Nice paying £140,000 per week. I imagine Arsenal would have to subsidise some of it. Who knows? It's being reported out of France. Foot Mercato, I think, are the source of the information. We'll have to wait and see if this one materialises. But we know that Arsenal have been open to allowing Pepe to leave. He didn't come on as a substitution at all against, who was it, the weekend we played? Leicester, of course. Mind going blank. But yeah, I can't see him wanting to stick around if he's not going to get any minutes, especially with a World Cup year. Did Ivory Coast qualify?
No, they didn't qualify.
They didn't, of course. Mm-hmm. So, but still, you want to be playing, you know, because you're in 26, turning 27 very soon. He needs to be in a situation where he's playing regularly in his prime years, and it's just not happening. So if I was him, a loan away might do him good. It also might allow Arsenal to then command a bigger fee next summer, because you're just not going to be able to entice any interested parties unless he has some football and plays a storming season. I mean, you see that with Nuno Tavares this year. You know, 2 goals in 2 games and a really good performances for Marseille. He could come back, still without a place at Arsenal, but certainly worth several times more than he was before he left on loan to Marseille. So that's a situation that definitely needs sorting out. Revolving incomings, of course, we've got these links to Jeremy Pino. They've persisted, but the wide area has seen a new link to Chelsea's Callum Hudson-Odoi. This comes out of, I think, the Chelsea Post podcast or something like that? But I've seen a fair few people mention this. I've heard nothing on this at all. So how real the likelihood of Arsenal moving for Callum Hudson-Odoi is pretty speculative right now. Would you take him?
No, and no. I would not take Callum Hudson-Odoi. I don't see the point in signing him. I don't think he's shown enough at first team level to say he would offer something new for Arsenal. We have Bukayo Saka there, we have Gabriel Martinelli, we have Emil Smith-Rowe, we have Reece Nelson, who I probably would rate higher than Callum Hudson-Odoi, simply because Callum Hudson-Odoi has not done enough at first team level. He was absolutely phenomenal at youth team level, but he hasn't been able to replicate that form for Chelsea. And he needs a loan move. He's always been at Chelsea. I think he needs to go somewhere to prove that he is ready for a team like Arsenal and ready to compete with a player like Bukayo Saka. He just hasn't done that for me. And I always say this, as a player in the Championship, TC, that is available and there, ready to be bought in Ismail Assar. I really want us to bring him in. I think he would be a quality player to bring in. But Callum Hudson-Odoi, absolutely not.
Yeah, we'll see if this one changes. The Chelsea Spots was the account that have posted this or talked about this information on their podcast. We'll see how real it potentially could be in the coming days. But yeah, I agree with you. I wouldn't be going for Callum Hudson-Odoi. I don't think it's a move that makes sense for him. You know, I don't think it works for him at all. If he wants to get more regular football, coming to Arsenal is not going to get you that. You know, I think the other team that were mentioned were Aston Villa. That's more likely to be a move that suits more so than it does to move to Arsenal. For me, Arsenal needs to go for a wide player that's got the scope to play in the middle as well and give us kind of centre-forward cover. And it seems to be that area of the field is our priority. Would that be your priority between now and the end of the window?
We've done a piece where I'd prefer a midfielder, but Granit Xhaka continues to impress me in the middle of the park, where I'm like, he's so good. If we do sign a midfielder, I just can't see him getting any game time in the big games, because Granit Xhaka is just simply excellent. But then at the same time, I don't think you can really trust Thomas Partey and Granit Xhaka to be fit at the same time, because suddenly, as the season goes on, these two can never seem to play together. But when they play together, we don't lose football matches. That's why I love them together so much. But it's a risk going into the new season with Sambi Lokonga and Mohamed Elneny as your main backups, because it didn't work last season. Hopefully now Sambi Lokonga has grown as a player, then I'd be happy, but I don't know, it's a risk still. So I'd still say a midfielder, simply because we have Emil Smith-Rowe, we still have Nicola Pepe, of course, we have Reece Nelson who's in the ranks, we have Fabio Fierro who can come on from the right-hand side. So I'd say a midfielder, simply because I'm not convinced about our strength and depth.
Yeah, I think that a number six and a wide forward are, for me, the key areas that I'd like to see us go for. You know, Youri Tielemans, I like the guy. I think he's a good player, but he's not a priority for me in this window. He really isn't. I think we've got enough players to play in that left eight kind of position. And for that reason, I just don't see spending £30 million, if that's what it's going to cost, on Youri Tielemans makes that much sense right now. I saw links with Paqueta resurfacing recently again. I don't necessarily see where he fits into the team right now, despite how good of a player he is. I just don't see it. Marcus says, if Aouar goes to Forest, will you take Bailey there to see his hero, as you know, Nottingham World, Tom? I mean, do you want to accompany me to watch Aouar play?
Let's go. Arsenal in the Forest.
Who knows? Maybe we'll make the trip up when Arsenal go and play Forest, of course, a little bit later on this season. But it seems like that's a deal that's getting closer. I mean, you saw my tongue-in-cheek tweet the other day about this. I mean, I think that kind of says his level, personally.
No, look, good players go to the smaller clubs all the time. Of course, Aouar's probably getting an amazing salary at London Forest. Some you can't really reject. So he's probably going there. And watch this season, you have an amazing season. Next season, he'll be, again, his value will rise and he'll be a big attraction for major clubs. I'm sure of it. I just think of Bruno Guimaraes when he went to Newcastle. That was a surprising transfer. Aouar will have the same impact at London Forest. I'm sure he's such a good player.
We'll see what happens. Gunnar Jake says, do you guys agree that Xhaka is evolving with the team and that Tielemans is not above Xhaka in the pecking order?
Yeah, I said this on a show yesterday that I always wanted to see Granit Xhaka when he'd go to with Switzerland to the Euros or to World Cup. I'd see a different Granit Xhaka who didn't perform like this at Arsenal. He was so good. I was like, why can't he do this for Arsenal? And now the last few months, I finally started to see the Granit Xhaka I was seeing for Switzerland. And it's really impressed me because he added a new element to his game, which I thought he would be very uncomfortable with. Sometimes there are times where it looks like, well, we'd maybe be better with a player who's more suited going forward and looks more comfortable near the final third. But he's doing exceptionally well. And Xhaka, he's won the heart of the fans back for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the freer role that he has now in the team emphasizes what he can do a lot more. Yeah. And when he was playing as the deepest defensive midfielder in the team, I don't think that necessarily was doing that. He was exposing a lot of his weaker areas. So now we're kind of seeing the best from him, which is interesting. We're going to tackle some more of your questions, guys, before we wrap things up. Marcus, who says, at the start of the transfer window, we all calculate expected income from incomes sales, and we have not got near this. Will this mean no incomings from now? Are you surprised by how little we've got for our players? I'm not personally. And I don't necessarily think it will affect incomings now.
We should have been prepared for this. I think the players we're trying to sell hold absolutely little value, or little to low value anyway. So it's going to be difficult to offload the players we want to. So I think this should have been expected by Edu, and it shouldn't affect our incomings because there are still one or two needed for sure.
Christoph says, who do you see as being the best available six to bring in? It's a tough question because there's not loads that I would say, yeah, absolutely. Like, I would have gone for Ibrahim Zangara before he signed his new contract. Moises Caicedo is a really interesting link to Brighton, but I had a chat with someone yesterday that basically said Brighton aren't selling him. There's no chance that he goes after they sold Bissouma this summer. There's just not enough time to get in a replacement. Douglas Luiz is an interesting one at Aston Villa. He was linked, obviously, but he could be close to signing a new deal as well. What do you think? And Chatbox, any ideas from you guys? Tell us. Let us know. What do you think, Bailey?
Oh, you're laughing. So before we move to the next question. It's a tough one. I can't think of, you've mentioned the names who I'd say, I think Ibrahim Sangale for me was the best option. I think for PSV yesterday as well, against Rangers, he was absolutely quality in the Champions League qualifiers. I was like, damn, I wish we did sign this guy, but he just signed a new contract, of course. So it is difficult at the moment. I think if we were to sign a big number six in the last couple of weeks, I'd be surprised simply due to the options out there and the money it would cost to bring him in. Of course, I know De Jong can play in number six, but again, that's just not going to happen, and he's way too expensive. So it's a difficult one. Maybe Ruben Neves as well, possibly. He can play in that position. That's not a bad option either. But again, the price tag is exceptional. So I don't know if he'll be willing to pay that.
Sandro Tonali, we saw links with at Milan. Mm-hmm. Do you like him?
I haven't seen enough of him. I know he's highly rated. I know he's highly rated, but I haven't seen enough of him to say yes or no.
Yeah, me neither. I don't know if he's even an out-and-out defensive midfielder.
He's like an eight.
Yeah, is he more of like a box-to-box player? The chat box might know. You know, there are the best players in those positions, unfortunately, are really at the biggest clubs already, you know. And it's going to be very difficult to get.
To be fair, Casemiro could be an option because I know.
I saw linked to Man United yesterday, which is a bit strange.
I think he wants to leave Real Madrid. I believe. I'm not too sure. So we have the Brazilian contingent. You know, it could be a little persuasive technique.
But again, I don't know why you would join. Arsenal. you know, when you've got Partey there, does Casemiro start? You would say probably over Partey, but then you've already got Partey. So what do you do?
Yeah, it's a different. That's why the midfield at the moment is awkward to strengthen because like you want to sign the best players, but then you feel like our midfield is already strong, so we can't really replace players. And it's the same for the wing position, really, because you're not going to replace Bukayo Saka or Martinelli. So it's a tough one. It is a tough one.
It's tricky, isn't it? Who's the guy at Bayer Leverkusen? I swear there's a defensive midfielder at Bayer Leverkusen that's pretty good. What's his name? Chatbox is going to be going crazy, I can tell. Neil says, what about Norgaard from Brentford? You laugh. He's a good player. He's a very good player. Arsenal have no interest in him. I actually spoke to his agent a few weeks back, and there's no interest from Arsenal. He's certainly not heard. And that was as of a few weeks ago, but no. Arangiz says Hamster. He's the guy at Leverkusen. Yeah, he's an interesting player that potentially someone could look at, but he's not moved. So potentially that tells you that he's not necessarily on the radar of many clubs and hasn't been linked all that much of any clubs either that I've seen so far. Declan Rice, would you take him if you're going to go for 100 million?
I'll take Deck in a heartbeat, but yeah, it just wouldn't happen, would it?
No, I don't think it would either. There isn't a glut of options, it doesn't there seem really out isn't. There for Arsenal to kind of go in for, as well. You know, just scrolling down different pages. Remember, we were linked to Dennis Zakaria, who went off to Juventus. Could have got him on a free transfer. That might have been an interesting one to bring in as well. So who knows? Hamsters, I would have liked Tyler Adams before he went to Leeds United. Daz, unfortunately, Aziz just isn't at that level. Neither do I think is he a number six. He's more of a number eight and then pushing towards a number 10. Jesse said, what about Sander Berg from Sheffield United? Again, another player that's not moved, and I question perhaps why he's not moved either. So there you go. Brilliant stuff. Anyway, that is going to wrap up today's show. Thank you so much, guys, for tuning in. We hopefully will bring you a press box either today or tomorrow. So make sure you're subscribed to get that content. I will see you bright and early tomorrow morning, though, of course. Bailey, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it, as always.
Thank you, TC, as always, and everyone in the comments section as well.
Absolutely. Have a fantastic day, guys. We'll see you again very, very soon. And as always, keep following us down the Arsenal Way.